Hello, everybody. Welcome to CD Projekt Group's earnings conference, where we'll briefly wrap up last year's performance. I'll walk you through the presentation together with Piotr Nieruborczyk. Michał Nowakowski will join us for the Q&A session after the presentation. Let's start with slide two, where you will find a short summary of what has been happening at the company since the beginning of last year. It was a year of major changes. Our transformation process, which we've called RED 2.0, kicked off in 2021, and throughout the past year touched almost every aspect of the company's life. In terms of organizational changes, we've introduced the agile methodology in the game development process. Right now, 17 agile teams are in place, 10 of which are engaged in developing the Cyberpunk expansion, while the remaining 7 are setting up our internal core technology center that will serve our future games. The Cyberpunk expansion is being developed largely with the use of the agile methodology, and we plan to work in the same framework when developing the new game in the Witcher franchise. Our strategic goal to develop in parallel two AAA projects starting in 2022 has been achieved, although the team working on the Witcher project will continue to recruit new talent. Our organizational changes have recently led to the appointment of two new board members: Jeremiah Kohn, Chief Marketing Officer, and Paweł Zawodny, Chief Technology Officer and Head of Production at CD Projekt Red. Last but not least, we continue to focus on the needs of our team members. In 2021, we retained the voluntary remote work model and undertook many activities to improve well-being and working conditions for the team. We also established RTRs, or Red Team Representatives, which are an advisory body to the board consisting of team members elected in a popular vote. Finally, we rolled out whistleblowing procedures and enhanced our internal communication. In terms of personal and professional development, we provided coaching webinars and we are constantly expanding our training portfolio. On top of that, as we are competing for talent globally, in 2021, our team members received significant pay increases by 23% on average. In 2022, we are planning to continue this trend. Now, let's move to slide three. Last year's top priority was fulfilling our commitment to quality with regard to Cyberpunk 2077. We worked hard and delivered 13 updates for the game, which include a wide range of enhancements. This work culminated in the release of patch 1.5, which brings further gameplay improvement on consoles and PCs. It also includes a dedicated next-gen update, which enables Cyberpunk to exploit the additional features offered by new consoles. We are happy that the February release has had a positive impact on the perception of the Cyberpunk brand in the gaming community and has received positive ratings on Metacritic. Now please have a look at slide four. Up until now, gamers have purchased over 18 million copies of Cyberpunk 2077 globally. Over 55% of these represent PC sales, while PlayStation and Xbox sales account for 27 and 18% respectively. We are fully committed to the Cyberpunk franchise and intend to develop it further. Moving on to slide five. As mentioned, we've recently released a new set of improvements for Cyberpunk, and we are also working on the next update, 1.6, which will be out in the coming months. Afterwards, support for Cyberpunk will continue, but our focus will gradually shift to the new exciting endeavors in both Cyberpunk and The Witcher franchises. Right now, the bulk of our team is working on Cyberpunk 2077 expansion that is targeted to be released in 2023. With regard to our other plans, as you can see on the chart, the number of developers working on new projects is growing steadily. This number includes the developers currently working on the new game set in the Witcher universe, which we recently confirmed. Of course, game set in the Witcher universe. Moving on to slide 6. To bolster our future development capabilities, in 2021, we carried out 2 acquisitions. In July, we acquired the Digital Escape Studio, which then became CD Projekt Red Vancouver. While in October, we concluded a deal with Boston-based The Molasses Flood. CD Projekt Red Vancouver is working on our current projects, the Cyberpunk expansion as well as the new Witcher game, while The Molasses Flood continues to develop its own project based on one of our IPs. We continue to recruit talent at both studios. One of the key aspects of the Red 2.0 transformation is a much stronger focus on technology. Let's have a look at slide 7. Signing a strategic long-term partnership with Epic Games enables us to use Unreal 5 to develop future CD Projekt Red games. This move will allow us to concentrate more on creative direction areas outside of engine development. At the same time, it will provide us with a solid long-term foundation to build and expand open-world story-driven games. As a result, we expect the development of future games to become more efficient, predictable, and stable. Moving on to the next slide. Unreal Engine 5 will power our next game in the Witcher universe that we have already started working on. As we've announced, with the new installment of the Witcher game, a new saga will begin. Now let's move to slide 9. We are super excited to return to the world of The Witcher, which we love so much. We are really happy that the gamers are excited about it too. Although 7 years have passed since the release of Witcher 3, The Witcher IP remains strong, as confirmed by continuing sales of the existing trilogy of games. I'm proud to say that so far, our 3 Witcher titles have sold over 65 million copies, of which The Witcher 3 accounted for over 40 million. So, just to quickly wrap up what we have prepared in our lineup on slide 10. You can see the list of our production plans for 2022. We'll continue working on Cyberpunk expansion, while at the same time developing a new game set in the Witcher universe. We'll provide further support for Cyberpunk. Our in-house development team will carry out the remaining work on the next generation version of The Witcher 3. The Molasses Flood will continue their own development work on as yet an unannounced project. We'll launch a captivating single-player mode for Gwent, The Witcher card game, and will support both Gwent and The Witcher Monster Slayer. We also run conceptual and research work for future unannounced projects. Let me leave you with a quick update on Cyberpunk and Runners, the anime series that we've been creating with the Japanese studio Trigger and which is to be aired on Netflix this year. The production process is now complete, and we have recently advanced to the post-production. We can't wait to show the series to the world. Stay tuned. We'll have more information to share soon. Now, Piotr will walk you through the financials. Piotr, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Adam. Now I would like to guide you through our results for 2021. Let's start with the consolidated profit and loss account. Slide 13. In total, our sales revenues reached 888 million zloty, which for both segments is naturally less than in 2020, the year of release of Cyberpunk. However, compared to 2019, which was the last financial year preceding the premiere of Cyberpunk, the prior period sales nearly doubled, and GOG sales increased by close to one-fourth. Most of the sales in 2021 were based on our own products, 691 million zloty, where Cyberpunk was the most important source of revenues and most of its sales continued to come from digital channels. Revenues from sales of goods and materials amounting to 190 million zloty were mainly driven by GOG digital sales. Cost of products and services sold amounted to 107 million zloty. Both this and last year, most of the amount comes from depreciation of historic expenditures on the development of Cyberpunk. All in all, we have already depreciated 52% of the Cyberpunk development budget in the P&Ls of 2020 and 2021. Cost of goods and materials sold came mostly from GOG and represent the amount due to the suppliers of games available on GOG platform. All in all, our gross profit from sales reached nearly 638 million zloty in 2021. Moving to the operating costs. In 2021, our selling costs decreased to 299 million zloty. The high amount in 2020 was influenced by our Cyberpunk promotion activity. This year, it also included costs related to marketing and publishing. However, a significant amount, over 80 million zloty, comes from our involvement in servicing Cyberpunk and working on all of the updates we read. We continue supporting Cyberpunk, however, service costs related to it should naturally decrease in 2022. Next line. In 2021, our G&A costs slightly increased versus last year. Among others, we include in this position the remuneration of G&A teams, which, as Adam mentioned before, grew over 2021. In G&As, we also present costs related to the incentive program settled in company stock. Recently, we changed our estimates regarding the company's ability to meet its earning goals throughout the duration of the program. These offloaded historic costs related to 80% of entitlements based on the results goals. Overall, for the group, this led to a 1 million program-related negative cost balance in 2021. The change of assumptions does not refer to 20% of incentive program entitlements dependent on the market goal. Costs related to these will continue to be recognized in future periods. Another factor that visibly influenced our G&A costs was related to the early research phase of our development projects. Costs of this phase are recognized directly in the results for the period and are not capitalized. The total amount recognized in 2021 amounted to nearly 24 million zloty, much more than in 2020, when most of our dev team worked on Cyberpunk. Next line, other operating expenses minus operating revenues. The amount increased in 2021 mainly due to two reasons. First, at CD Projekt Red, in past years, we worked on creating our multiplayer technology. In the wake of the recent decision to start strategic cooperation with Epic Games and to use Unreal Engine 5, which offers advanced multiplayer solutions, we ceased further development of our own multiplayer technology and created respective write-off in the amount of nearly 21 million zloty. The second amount comes from GOG, which revised past assumptions related to amortization of some of its client technology and decided to accelerate the amortization scheme, plus it decided to write off some of its licensing minimal guarantees, resulting altogether in additional non-monetary charges of 15 million zloty in GOG costs. Both cases refer to historic expenses and are of a non-monetary nature for 2021. All in all, our net profit for 2021 reached 209 million zloty. While GOG posted negative results, a net profit of over 238 million zloty was generated by CD Projekt Red. Regarding CD Projekt Red, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that substantial costs were either driven by time-limited activity, like the Cyberpunk servicing expenses and early phase research costs. The latter are actually, in a way, an investment into our future products and sales. Also, the multiplayer technology write-off was a one-time non-monetary charge. The three positions altogether amounted to over 125 million zlotys, which is the equivalent of half of the segment's net profit. Regarding GOG, apart from the one-off events discussed above, its performance does present a challenge, and recently GOG took measures to improve it. As we communicated previously, GOG will focus more on its reliable core business activity, which means offering a hand-picked selection of games with its unique DRM-free philosophy and gamer-first approach. In line with this approach, there were changes in the team structure and the company reorganized its operations. Moreover, at the end of 2021, GOG left the Gwent Consortium. This means that it will neither bear its portion of expenses nor obtain the corresponding share of revenues associated with our consortium. From 2022, GOG continues to offer both Gwent and Thronebreaker to its customers, but financial settlements between Cedeprite and GOG are already based on a standard revenue sharing model as for other digitally distributed products. The GOG team will not be involved in the live operation of the game. We believe that all of the changes will allow GOG to focus more on its core business and improve its financial effectiveness. Let's now move on to the next slide, number 14, our provisions. After the half-yearly presentation, we received many questions on the economics of the provisions, and this time I would like to present them in more detail, jointly for long- and short-term provisions. Back in 2020, Cedeprite reserved 194 million zlotys for potential returns and corrections of Cyberpunk sales and royalty reports. During 2021, based on received royalty reports and updates from retail as of the end of each quarter, we were adjusting this amount. For some of our distribution contracts, we created additional sales provisions, together for an amount of 43 million zlotys. This is the first green number on the upper left side of the table. Over the year, 136 million zlotys out of all sales provisions was consumed. We also dissolved nearly 101 million of unused sales provisions. However, the dissolution of the 101 million zloty sales provisions came together with creating new cost provisions for nearly 95 million zloty, the red number in the right upper part of the table. Why was that so? Based on the evaluation of market situation, business decisions, and discussions with our distribution partners, in some cases, the settlements resulted in covering part of distributors' marketing and publishing expenses by Cedeprite instead of reducing Cedeprite's revenues. During 2021, we consumed over 74 million zlotych of cost provisions and nearly 18 million zlotych provisions was dissolved. One could ask why we increased sales of cost provisions at the same time when we dissolved them. The answer is simple. Over the year 2021, we re-evaluated the provisions as of the end of each quarter based on most updated market information, and we did it for each contract individually. Some resulted in changes in one way and some in the other. How did it all translate into our profit and loss account? The balance of created and dissolved sales provisions marked green on the bottom of the table increased our 2021 sales revenues by 58 million zlotys. At the same time, the balance of created and dissolved cost provisions, marked red, increased our costs by 77 million zlotys. All in all, the negative effect of cost provisions was higher than the positive influence of sales provisions by nearly 90 million zlotys. This amount decreased our EBIT value for 2021. Let's now move to the next slide, number 15, our consolidated balance sheet. In 2021, our balance of expenditures on development projects decreased by 56 million zlotys. New expenditures on development projects of the year reached 67 million zlotys, while depreciation of past projects in the amount of 89 million zlotys, primarily Cyberpunk 2077, offset this figure. Additionally, an allowance of close to 21 million zlotys due to abandonment of work on multiplayer technology was recognized in the Cedeprite segment. At the same time, our long- and short-term other financial assets increased in line with our purchases of T-bonds as a way of diversifying our financial reserves. The total value of T-bonds, cash, and deposits included in the positions marked with a star is summed up under the table to the amount of 1,154,000,000 zlotys as of the end of 2021. This means that our financial reserves increased by 279 million zlotys during the year. At the same time, our receivables decreased from 1,275,000,000 down to 238 million, as in 2021 we collected receivables open after the end of year release of Cyberpunk. Let's go to the other side of the balance, page 16. As of the end of 2021, our group equity had a value of 1,894,000,000 zlotys, nearly 289 million zlotys less than at the end of 2020. The main reasons for this change are payment of over 503 million zlotys dividend and the total comprehensive income for the period, increasing equity by 214 million zlotys. Another major change among our liabilities is related to the provisions which we just discussed. All in all our sales provisions decreased down to 0 zlotys. Cost provisions slightly increased by 8 million zlotys up to 44 million. At the same time, provisions for bonuses, mostly based on our annual profits, decreased in 2021 down to 45 million, as the bonuses for 2020 were paid in 2021, and the bonuses expected for 2021 are proportional to the profits of the year. So far, I haven't elaborated much on the expenditures on development projects, so now please go to the next page, number 12. So the project rates expenditures on research, development, and service of released games, presented quarterly to better show the changes happening at the studio. The yellow part represents our total cost of servicing our released games, mainly Cyberpunk and Gwent. The amount related to Cyberpunk declined in the first half of the year and was relatively stable during the second half, leading us finally to the release of patch 1.5 and the next-gen version of Cyberpunk. At the same time, the proportion of the team and therefore the total expenditures related to future products keeps growing. It's represented by both the green slice, early phase research cost, and the blue part, actual development of new projects. This is in line with what Adam was presenting just now regarding the involvement of our team. And finally, our simplified cash flow on slide 18. 209 million zlotys net profit for the period was supported by nearly 1,037,000,000 zlotys reduction of receivables that we collected in 2021. Our liabilities, including all types of provisions, decreased by 396 million zlotys. In cash terms, we expensed 155 million zlotys on development of new projects, while the non-cash book depreciation of historic expenditures on released products reached nearly 87 million zlotys. The dividend paid out in the amount of over 503 million zlotys was another important driver of our cash flow. All other flows and changes cumulatively are around 2 million zlotys. Altogether, our financial reserves increased by 279 million zlotys up to 1,154,000,000 zlotys in cash, bank deposits, and T-bonds as of the end of 2021. More detailed commentary on our financial performance can be found in our management board report. As we talk about our reports, I would like to draw your attention to one more. Together with the annual report, we've just released our first sustainability report. I'd like to use this opportunity to congratulate Katarzyna from our IR department for coordinating this huge project. Thank you very much, indeed. That's all from me for now. Thank you for your attention. Let's now move on to the Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. And the first question is from the line of Nick Dempsey from Barclays. Please go ahead.
I've got three questions, please. So first one, you're pointing to just over 18 million units of Cyberpunk 2077 having been sold as of the 14th of April. We know we had 13.7 million in 2020. I'm kind of backing out somewhere between 3.5 and 4 million in 2021, though that's clearly not perfect. So are we kind of saying that we're only at kind of 500,000 to 1 million, something like that, sold so far in 2022? Is that a kind of decent ballpark? Second question, when we're considering 2022 group revenues versus 2021 group revenues, what would make 2022 group revenues be higher than 2021? When I'm looking at it, we don't have the Cyberpunk 2077 paid for expansion in 2022. The run rate so far of Cyberpunk sales doesn't really seem to be ahead of the 2021 run rate, and we can see Cyberpunk on sale in lots of places, so potentially the average revenue per unit might be through the year lower than in 2021. So what is there, other than what I've just talked about there, that could make 2022 group revenues higher than 2021? Just last question. You've announced that you're using Unreal Engine 5 for the new game in the Witcher universe. Yeah, can that make your development process faster so that you can get to a finished game earlier than you might have thought before you embarked on this change? Or is it going to be roughly the same?
Doing what?
Okay, so the first question was about the split of sales of Cyberpunk for 2021 and 2022. I'm sorry, but we were not revealing any precise data per year or per quarter. So the last updated number we had before this conference was just 18 million zlotys, and it obviously includes accelerated sales thanks to the next-gen release. The second question was, what will make 2022 results or sales revenues better than 2021? And here I have to say, I'm sorry, but we are not guiding on 2022. Adam mentioned our publishing pipeline for this year and our production pipeline for this year, but we will not be able to comment what will make the sales higher or lower in the existing year.
And I will take the third one. Definitely, Unreal Engine is it's a proven technology, and it's very well developed and organized on the backend side. I mean, tool set for developers, pipelines, and so on. So the production should be smoother, but not necessarily fast. I mean, it's hard to say now, but we expect that definitely the processes will be under better control, and I will be able, as I said, being more focused on a creative side. But bear in mind that we are talking about Unreal Engine 5, in which development will take our part as well, together with Epic. So we are specialists of the open world RPGs, and we'll work together on some areas of the technology to make it perfect for this kind of games.
Thank you, guys.
The next question is from the line of Tia Zia from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Omar Sheikh from Morgan Stanley, actually. Evening, everyone. I've got three questions as well. Not dissimilar from Nick's, actually. So maybe if I could start with the 22 slate. You very helpfully gave us a comprehensive list of stuff that you're going to be developing in 2022. Could you just tell us what you think you might be able to release during the course of the year, just to help us understand kind of cadence of releases? So that would be helpful. In particular, if you could just touch on Witcher Next Gen, just to kind of update us on where exactly you are, what you plan to do, and whether you plan to release that in 2022 as well. That's the first question. And then on the Cyberpunk run rate, Piotr, you hopefully just, I think you just said that you've seen accelerated sales for Cyberpunk post the release of Next Gen. And you said you don't want to give us a number for December 31st. So you don't know what 21 numbers are, but can you maybe just say whether the acceleration is significant and whether you expect as you look into Q2, Q3, Q4, whether you expect the run rate to be the same or get better or get worse. I'm particularly thinking about the release of Edge Runners. Is that going to have an impact on the sales of the game, in your opinion? That's the second question. Then finally, I just want to ask about headcount. You've talked in the past about ramping up developer headcount. Could you just give us a December 31st year-end number for the number of developers that you have? What are your kind of hiring plans for this year around whether it's in Vancouver or whether it's in Canada or whether it's in Poland? Just want to get a sense of how much you plan to ramp up the developer capacity as you go through 2022. Thanks very much.
Okay. I'm going to start. This is Michał Rakowski. Your question is, what will you be able to release in 2022? Then you got a little bit more specific about the next-gen version of The Witcher 3. We're not going to be announcing new titles at this conf call or the new releases or the new release dates. Of course, the announcements are going to come when they're going to come, and what is actually known out there as of now is what we're talking about. Now, when it comes to next-gen, I'm sorry, launch of The Witcher 3, I think there's one comment I actually wanted to make. I've been looking at the headlines that popped up here and there over the internet, and I've seen one that really drew my attention, which is Witcher 3 next-gen delayed indefinitely, which sounds like the game is in some sort of development hell. I wanted to state this is not the fact. In fact, there's been a lot of insinuations that we're going to launch June next year or something like that. That's completely not the case. Everything we're saying is we have taken the development of the game in-house. The game is going to be finished in-house. We're evaluating our time. That requires a bit of investigation. That's all we're saying. Nobody's saying the game is delayed in some monumental sort of time gap ahead of us. That's as much as I can say about Witcher 3 next-gen, but I really wanted to emphasize that fact.
The second question about the acceleration of sales for Cyberpunk after the premiere of next-gen. I would call it kind of new release effect. Obviously, it was not an entirely new release. We prepared the version for owners of next-gen consoles who so far hesitated to buy the game that was released first and foremost for the old generations, and now they had the opportunity to do so. Will the second, third, and fourth quarter be equivalent to the release window? Probably not. Obviously, the sales are continued, I guess proportionally to the number of gamers using PCs, old gens, and next-gen, both from PlayStation and Xbox. Right now, I would say it's a natural trend that we should be expecting after adding the two new next-gen platforms to the family. The second part of the question was whether we believe Edge Runners will also support sales. Yes, we hope it will make the Cyberpunk universe more popular, more reachable. We hope it will invite new customers who watched the anime series also to play the video game in the same universe. Right now, it's obviously hard to estimate what impact this anime will have. Definitely, we are looking for a positive extension of the Cyberpunk universe awareness.
Asking the third question, by the end of last year, there was almost 700 developers in all our studios, and among them, 630 something into the Project Red. The number of developers into the Project Red hadn't changed last year compared to the end of 2020. Bear in mind that after release, the year after release is naturally the year of the highest turnover. Even having this peak in turnover, which is natural, the same was after Witcher 3, we keep the same level of the team. And for this year, we are planning increase, but it's too early to share what is the target. Recently, we were very, very active in GDC, and then we expect some boost in hiring. And we are implementing new policies, enabling people to work from not only from Warsaw, Krakow, or Wrocław. So we have more locations, and that should help as well.
That's great. Thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jamie Bass from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Sorry in advance. I've got three questions as well. They are relatively similar to Nick and Omar's, but slightly different. First one, would you be able to say whether once the next generation of Cyberpunk came out, whether that not only boosted sales in general, but did you see that there was a boost to the old generation sales from the marketing and that sort of thing? So old generation sales, was that boosted? Second question, kind of coming at the next gen Witcher question from a different angle, would it be fair to say that the development of the next gen update was relatively on track, and then you had to in-house the production for, you know, given the circumstances, and then there's just the friction of changing studios? Is that a fair way to look at it, or was there more of a development issue behind it as well? Third question, on the transition to the Unreal Engine for the next Witcher 4, would you be able to give some color on whether, and I know you haven't given too much detail on what the development costs would be anyway for the Witcher 4, but compared to sort of your base case expectations, would you say that there is a difference to the cost level you would be expecting for the overall development for the next Witcher, given that you're now using the Unreal Engine? Thank you.
Okay, I'll start with the first two, Michał Nowakowski. So the first question was whether Cyberpunk Next Gen release actually boosted sales for both generations. I mean, for the next gen, I mean, it was the initiation of sales really. Of course, it opened up the sales for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. But I think your question was more whether it boosted the sales for the previous gen. It did, of course. To some extent, also because the patch 1.5 introduced a lot of new things and improvement and fixes to the last generation as well. So whenever you, and it was a major, major patch. So whenever you have an event like that, naturally, some people will want to check on the game, see what has changed, what's new. And that was the case with Cyberpunk Next Gen patch, as well, for sure. The second question, I think I tried to shorten it, was what was the reason we switched to internal, the reason was it was based on recommendations from the people in charge of development. We as a result of these recommendations, we have decided to move the development of the Witcher 3 next gen to our in-house team and finish the work on the next gen, which are free release ourselves. That's pretty much what we're saying. Thank you.
And the third question was about how development costs could influence our total how new engine could influence the development costs of the next project. As for now, being at the beginning of the journey using Unreal Engine, we do not plan any significant influence of switching to new technology within the budget of the game. Obviously, we are at the very beginning of the journey using Unreal Engine, and we will know more in some time from now. But as for now, the assumption is that it should not have significant impact.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, guys.
The next question is from the line of Matthew Walker from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, and good evening to everyone. Just a few questions, please. The first one is, how many customers so far have taken up the free copy of Cyberpunk Next Gen? The other one is, any clues on when in 2023 the expansion might come out? And then on molasses, are they working on like a major AAA title, or is that something? Is that something different? And then, are you still anticipating something like a 4% reduction in sales from Russia and Belarus? Thanks.
So answering the first question, I have to ask, are you asking about the number of gamers that downloaded free trial of
no, I guess the console version? I guess what I'm asking is the people that bought the original copy were promised a free copy of the next gen version when it came out. So, yeah, I'm asking how many people have claimed a free copy.
All right.
Next gen. Yeah.
All right. I'm not. I can't provide you with a precise number, but we don't have this data actually precisely. So I can't answer. I can't answer this.
Okay.
So, Mr. Walker, are you finished with your question?
Yeah, I just had the other questions, which was about when in 2023 we can expect the expansion.
Yeah,
the first half of 2023.
Sorry, there's the rest. Yes, yeah. Sorry, we stumbled here. Yeah, the second question was any clue when the expansion? I am assuming you're talking, of course, about the Cyberpunk expansion may come out. So we're at this moment not sharing the date. And the release date for the expansion yet. Of course, that will be announced when the right time comes from marketing production perspective. That time will come for sure, but we're not sharing it just yet. We hope for your understanding.
And okay, regarding the molasses flood. Oh, sorry.
No, sorry. Please go ahead. Yeah.
So regarding molasses flood, the project is not, it's unannounced yet. So, We can't say anything more. They are working on the game within our IPs, one of our IPs, and that's it. What we can share as for now.
And the last question referred to decrease of sales from Russia and Belarus. It's hard to measure something we are not seeing, but as we reported some time ago. The sales to Russia and Belarus altogether for the past 12 months amounted to between 3 and 6 or 5 point something percent as I remember. So depending whether you measure GOG itself or to the prior credit, that was the size of our Russian and Belarusian sales revenues.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
The next question is from the line of Ken Rump from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Maybe I have different questions. The first one was just a quick one. You'd commented on the, I think it was 23% average wage increase last year, and you said a similar progress this year. Did you mean another 23% or just another significant increase? Simple enough. Secondly, on multiplayer, you've written off some of the Red Engine or the Red Engine kind of multiplayer related development costs. What about the people, you know, the team who were working on that, which I think was a mixture of Wroclaw people and also some of the Digital Escapes people? What are they doing? Are you restructuring that? Do they? And also, it seems that a multiplayer version of Cyberpunk is not in the offing. That now seems like quite a distant prospect, a multiplayer mode of some kind, although something that you still want to do. So basically, what's happening with that team? Is it shrinking? Are they working on something that's very long term? And finally, a kind of a couple of questions related to Unreal Engine. I had rather a different view talking to people at GDC that, you know, in the end, it'll be great, but you could spend a couple of years getting used to a new engine. So I'm presenting rather the opposite idea than it being quicker, that, you know, how long do you think it'll take you to get to grips with a new engine? And secondly, as you observe, UE5 isn't really set up for an open world game. You're going to be kind of co-developing a whole load of capability. I assume that you've therefore, you know, gained some preferential terms from Epic for effectively improving their product, if I put it briefly. Is that a fair assumption? Thanks.
So I'll take the first one regarding the wage increases. We for 2022, we expect similar wage increases that Adam mentioned during his part of the presentation. Obviously, right now, this is planned, so very precise percent will be possible to be measured closer to the end of the year, but in general, we are planning to head into the same direction with wage increases.
Mm-hmm. So I'll take the second regarding people who have been working on multiplayer. Of course, all of them, taking into consideration some turnover, natural turnover, but there were no layoffs related to this, and we are definitely for having multiplayers in our games, and we need those people to help us to bring it to life one day. So no layoffs in this regard whatsoever.
Thank you.
And on the last one, the Unreal-related questions. Your suggestion was that it could take years to learn new things, such as new engine. And, of course, this can be true, but one thing I can tell is, first of all, we actually have on board some people who have prior experience with Unreal. So it's not like the team is completely unknown ground for the team. It's also, there's also quite a lot of specialists on Unreal. In fact, one could argue that it's easier to draw talent who knows about Unreal rather than to draw talent that is faced with 1 year learning curve of a proprietary engine, which was the case with us before. Mm-hmm. As for the Unreal 5 not really being set up for the open world game, that's actually contrary to what our internal investigation has told us. I mean, Unreal 5 is much better. So that, contrary to Unreal 4, which was a little bit more challenging in that regard, not impossible, but more challenging, Unreal 5 is much better suited for open world games. And what Adam mentioned in his speech, I think we were trying to say something a little bit different, is that we're actually going to be chipping in significantly with what we can offer and add to the table, for Unreal together with them, rather than we have to somehow hack Unreal Engine so that it can work in the open world game. That's definitely not what we're saying. UE5, according to our expertise, is perfectly fine to run open world games, and we feel together with them we can make it work even better, you know, for our games. I hope that answers the question. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. I'll drop back in the queue one more. Thanks.
The next question is in the line of Matti Littunen from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. A couple of questions on product. The first one, a follow-up on multiplayer. Would you now, in sort of your new technology plan, of course, you don't have to reveal anything specific about, say, the next Witcher game, but philosophically, would you be opposed to releasing a multiplayer version of the game at the same time as the single player one? Or would you prefer to sort of do those as separate releases going forward? The second one, I suppose, looking back at kind of Red Engine, 3, and sort of the you know, process, you know, going from that to Cyberpunk, would you say that some of the stability issues with the engine, would those have been, greater when you were developing Cyberpunk 2077? And do you think that, you know, for example, affected the quest design of the game, the finished game, versus what we saw in Witcher 3? Thank you.
I'll take the first, and I probably will take the second one as well, maybe, but I will need to ask a little bit more what is it you have on your mind. Sorry. On the first one, the multiplayer, are we philosophically okay with that being released separately altogether? I'm afraid we're not really in place to, you know, comment on that. You know, once we reveal the plans, talk more about them, you know, we'll be happy to jump into conversation philosophically and in real life what it means for us. But here and now, I'm afraid I cannot go deeper there. Now, as for the Red Engine, I'm not sure I understood what is it you had on your mind. Like, what did the Red Engine affect how we designed the quests versus the Witcher 3? I mean, I'm not sure I followed.
Yes, I just saw some developer interviews from your developers, right, talking about how they expect improved stability overall on a technical level from the Unreal Engine, which would make developing this sort of open-ended sort of structures of open world games easier. So I was wondering, for example, you know, obviously you have lots of player choice in open world games, and you've had that in the quest design in Witcher 3, but perhaps less so with Cyberpunk 2077. So I was just wondering, was that one perhaps a bottleneck in development for Cyberpunk 2077, which you'd hope to improve with the switch to Unreal 5?
I don't think this was the case, really, to be honest. Plus, I actually probably wouldn't agree with the thesis because the philosophy of the quest design, when you cut it to the bone, I mean, it was actually similar in Witcher 3 and CP. I understand the perception may be different for some people, especially if you read a lot of, you know, comments on the internet and so on, but that was actually not the case. So, I think, again, I cannot jump into the shoes of people who were giving the interviews at GDC, but my impression would be that they were just saying that they expect smoother work conditions, and that's probably it. That will be my comment. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Chirag Vadhia from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. On the Unreal partnership, I just wanted to understand why such a long agreement, a 15-year agreement with Epic for it, and was it just to do with the stronger multiplayer capabilities? First question. Second question, wage inflation has become, I guess, more notable for game developers in the industry. Do you feel as if transitioning your workforce to Unreal means there's more scope for competitors to hire your talent, given how valuable the Unreal skill set is? And then third question, did the launch of Elden Ring have any impact on the sales of Cyberpunk Next Gen? Thanks.
So I'll take the first one. 15 years is not that long, to be honest. I mean, we when we think about our plans, we have, it's normal that we have to take 15 or 20 years in advance. I mean, that's the normal term of planning. So this is strategic deal. So I can't imagine shorter term than this.
Yeah, I will take the second question regarding Unreal Engine influence on risk of losing our talent to other developers also using this technology. And honestly speaking, we see the situation totally opposite. So there are many, many more specialists around experience with Unreal Engine than we can find out of the project experience using Red Engine. So we rather see this as an opportunity for us to extend the team and have easier opportunities for hiring new team members.
As for the first question, did the launch of Elden Ring affect Cyberpunk sales? while Elden Ring is a fantastic game, so we send congratulations to Miyazaki-san and his team. It did not really. I mean, the game's launches were separated by a year, and if you are meaning the launch of the patch, no. I mean, the patch did what it was supposed to do, the upgrade, and you know, the opening of the next gens. I think the genres are so different. I mean, if you're looking for a fantasy thing versus more like sci-fi oriented, I mean, I think there's place for both fans. Of course, you know, Elden Ring is launching a new title. We were launching a next gen version of the title that has already existed in the market for 1 year, but it did not seem to affect the sales in any way we could really, you know, measure or say, okay, if we did something else, it would have been X times better or something else. So no, in our opinion, not.
Very fair point. Thanks very much.
The next question is from the line of Thomas Rodak from DM Bosch. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my questions. First of all, I have one more question regarding the impact of new gen version of Cyberpunk on sales. You said that 55% of Cyberpunk units were sold on PC so far. I wonder if the sales currently is more skewed towards console users after the new gen version was released. Maybe you could give us some percentage number, how it looked in the first quarter or in the second quarter. The second question is related to the write-offs you created. You created a write-off for the Red Engine with regard to multiplayer technology. And on the other hand, during the previous conferences, you said that you're going to work on online elements to Cyberpunk. I wonder if that means that you gave up the development of online elements to Cyberpunk. And the third question is, could you give us some light on the value of cost of Cyberpunk service that we should expect in 2022, maybe the first quarter of 2022? And in the later quarters. Thank you.
Hello, Tomek. So regarding the precise split of platforms after the release of next gens within Q1, we have no data to share in this respect right now. Stay with us for the Q1 results, and I hope we'll be able to share a bit more data on results and sales for this period.
I'll take the second one. So we are just switching our activities from Red Engine, our multiplayer works from Red Engine to Unreal, because having signed a licensing and partnership agreement with Epic, we gained access to multiplayer solutions available in Unreal Engine. So as a result, we abandoned further R&D work on adding multiplayer features to Red Engine. So the corresponding to-date expenditures were reassigned from fixed assets to other operating expenses.
And again, the question about financial elements of 2022 and future quarters, I cannot go into details, but as I mentioned during the first part of the presentation, the Cyberpunk servicing costs after releasing the patch 1.5 and next gen edition will naturally decrease. We will obviously continue supporting the game and still working on updating it. But vast part of the job, we believe, has already been done and was done in 2021.
Thank you.
There are no further telephone questions at this time, and I would like to hand back to Adam Kaczynski.
Thank you very much. And we have a question from webcast from Emil Popławski. How many devs the Witcher 3 next gen update may require to be completed? So not many. Not many. Fortunately, those devs, those engineers and programmers, are those who can work on it. So it's around 15 people. And to a limited extent, it will also make us of external support. So taking over this project will not affect the development of any our next game in the framework of the previously announced New Witcher saga. So, it's a minor project.
The second question is from Piotr Poniatowski. What percentage of developers working on other projects are working on the new game in the Witcher IP? Sorry, but we so far have not been sharing this information, and I cannot answer the question right now.
So we are coming to the end. So thank you very much for joining us today for our financial year 2021 conference. Should you have any follow-up questions, please contact our IR team directly. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.